Well, I welcome those of you that are on the podcast, that are tuning into the House of Manna podcast. Tonight's message, out of the soaking, I heard the Lord says, it is time for an oil change. Well, what a time of worship, wasn't it? I just enjoyed it. Last week, we were in here just nothing but worship. I said, okay, that's it. We're just going to worship. We're not going to do nothing. But that's my plans. But I want God's plans. Last week, we had people laid out everywhere. Well, you'd walk in and you think, hey, nobody showed up. And everybody's laid out on the on the floor over here. People just wailing and crying. It was beautiful. I love it. But it set the atmosphere. It's a precedence what we do. Everything that we do must be for God. Amen? So tonight it's time for an oil change. Are you ready for it? Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. When you're there, say amen. Hallelujah. I hear the shuffling. Glory. It's time for an oil change. I'll begin reading out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, God, that it permeates our heart, permeates our soul, and it begins to quicken inside of us within the Spirit of God to bring forth your Word of God, which is by the Spirit of God that it is written for our life. Father, we thank you that we apply the Word and do the Word and not just hear the Word. Let us be doers of the Word. Father, I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. I'm going to do it one more again. Amen. Amen. Now we're in the church that I know about that God is saying it's time for an oil change. Oil change. Jesus goes now to be baptized. And we all know it. We've seen it in the stories depicted in the shows that they show on TV. Jesus goes down and John the Baptist is getting ready to baptize Jesus. I'm not worthy to even do your sandals. You should be baptizing me. But then I begin to see what happened when he came out of the water. What came upon him? The dove, the Spirit. And I've always wondered, why did it all of creation at that very moment experience an open heaven, the voice of God declaring who his Son is? And it says that it was the Spirit that came like a dove upon him, right? Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Again, out of the NIV, I'm going to begin reading it, verse 17 through 21. Watch this. Luke 4, 17 through 21. Again, Luke 4, 17 through 21. It says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. He found. Did you see that? He found. Was not he the one that wrote the scripture? But he found where it was. Oh, Lord, don't let me get started already. He found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has, say it again, anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Watch this in verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Watch this. So he goes and finds in the scroll of Isaiah. In other words, he was not there to preach to them. He was not there to teach them anything. He was there to look for a specific word and tell them, this right here, in which you have studied and what you know, I am about to fulfill in your ears. He gives it back and sits down. But what I found it very interesting, he says, "I am anointed," when the Spirit of the Lord was on. Right? Here's the dove again that comes down. The Spirit of God rests upon the head of Jesus. That was the anointing. That was the anointing that he's speaking about. How many of you have received Jesus Christ into your personal Lord and Savior into your life? Yes, 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 yes. If you haven't, I'd be more than happy to pray with you right now. You've been anointed just like Jesus was. You have now received the whole body of Christ within inside of you. The whole Spirit of God is there. The whole kingdom of God is within you. And he is there to do what? To set the captives free. What he was declaring to them is, what you're about to hear about me is this fulfillment. He hadn't done anything yet. What you're about to hear. Now, it is time for us to understand that when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit is a representation of the anointing. Correct? The Holy Spirit is a representation of the anointing, the oil, the oil. In Zechariah 4, verses 1 through 6, in the King James Version, Zechariah 4, 1 through 6, out of the King James, it reads this way: "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. He said unto me, What seest thou? And he said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lampstands thereon, and seven pieces to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he said and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, the oil, the anointing, saith the Lord of hosts. So I'm trying to establish for you that what is necessary in our life is the anointing. The anointing on our life, the oil on our life, needs to be foremost everything that we're looking and desiring for, including the word. We can't just have the word which killeth, but the spirit anointing gives it life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I discussed last night in the prophetic class how I used to go to church, and in the church, my experiences were coming out when I had bruises and everything getting pinched by my grandma. Sitting in pews similar to this with the little thing where you can kneel down, and I had to sit still for the longest time, and as a child, you can't sit still in church. Okay, so, you know, I know your son's right there. Don't pinch him. But there's times when, you know how you just get antsy? And you start just lying. Then you start looking, and then you just get antsy, right? Well, I would do that, and then my grandmother would just, you better switch over here. We got to the point, every time I think about God, I get hurt. Every time I think about God, oh no. I don't want to go to church because church is so hurtful. Well, I started growing up that way, thinking that everything about church was about pain. Right? And so I had to change the way I was taught about God, who he was, much less the fact that I didn't understand anything they were saying. So the Lord said, I'm going to show you something different. I'm going to show you how to pursue me as Abba, your father. And then I'm going to show you who I am in your life. I'm going to change the oil that you once knew before. Because my anointing in your life is going to change. And you have to understand what that anointing is for. So now he's got my attention. Now I'm like, okay, you can pinch me, don't whatever you want to do, but I want to know what you're talking about this oil about. Oil itself is Elion. It occurs 11 times and refers to the olive oil. The Mount of Olives was named for its numerous olive groves and the olive oil presses located at its base. Jesus spent the last evening there at Gethsemane, meaning the press of oil. The corresponding Aramaic word is Misa, anointing. There's two occurrences in Ezra 6:9 and Ezra 7:22, which refers to the oil needed for the temple court, and it is directly related to the Hebrew verb masha, to anoint. So when Jesus came out of the Jordan, a transitional phase from being the carpenter's son to becoming now the Messiah, there was an oil that was changed, it was transferred, there was something that was different. He was anointed first to be a son. Oh, hear this. To be a son here in the natural, because he came from heaven as the son of God, but he had to fit the mold here on earth as the son of a carpenter. Are you hearing this? He left deity and glory to come down to be just like you and I. So there was a different anointing on him to be a child of the Father instead of the Father. Are you hearing this? So when he comes here on earth, now the anointing that is on him is so that he can be a child. You know, a child? A regular child. You know, Sylvia, like the child that jumps up and down on these pews and on the chairs. The child that likes to run around and have fun. I don't know about you, but I know that being a child is where I learned all my scrapes and bruises, where it came from, because I wanted to test new things. You know how we do. How many of you like to climb trees when you were young? Okay, here's the thing. I'm afraid of heights. But I wanted to be like every other of my cousins. I wanted to climb the trees. And one time I was just climbing, doing real good, until I looked down. Lord, got real spiritual then. Didn't know how to speak in tongues. Bah, 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 bah. I was scared. But I believe that God allows us in our childhood, adolescence, to be experimental, to try different things just to see what the result's going to be, right? Now, as a child, we're going to be so inquisitive. How many of you asked your parents a lot of questions as you were growing up? Yeah, we keep on, Mom, when are we going to leave? When are we going to go? What are we going to do? I'm hungry. Mom, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? When are we going to go on vacation? What are we going to do this weekend? We just ask all the time, right? And I believe that Jesus was asking of the Father all the time in his childhood state, when do I get to do what you sent me to do? Oh, don't miss this. When do I get to do what you have sent me to do? Because it's been a long time already. When did he get baptized? At what age? 30. So we want to ask God to hurry up and do what you said you wanted us to do at the age 16, age 17, but he had to wait till he was 30. And I begin to ask God, why do you have to wait so long if he already knew everything? He was already trained. He already was obedient to his parents, right? Even when he got lost in the temple. Did he get lost or did the parents get lost? The parents got lost. Jesus knew where he was at the whole time. Parents, gal. See, you know what? We need to be calling CPS on Mary and Joseph, because they lost him. How do you lose Emmanuel, God with us?
How do you lose God? If the angel comes to you, Sylvia, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. You're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. And you leave one of the festivities, you're leaving Jerusalem, and then mira, ¿dónde está mi hijo? In other words, where's my son? How do you do that? Do we get so caught up that we forget what our intentions were while we were here? Even as parents, we lose sight of what we're called to do.
You don't understand right now. I know you're only 15, but you don't understand what I'm going through right now. In the 15, I was looking at you. You don't understand what I'm going through. I've been trying to talk to you about my math. You don't even understand math anymore. Can you understand the differences? Because the child is saying, you don't understand me. The parent's saying, you don't understand me. So there's a misunderstanding that's going on. Jesus is looking upon the people. God says, no, it's time. Daddy, it's time. It's time now, Dad. Look at them. They don't even know what they're doing. He says, fulfill every prophecy written about you. Things had to be done decent and in order. Had to be done exactly on the timing with every prophetic word that has come forth. There's nowhere in history that anyone could ever fulfill so many prophecies that lead right to Jesus saying he is the Messiah. So now he goes to the Jordan, which represents transition. Anytime you read in scripture about the Jordan, it represents transition. And in that transition, he transitioned out of the old oil as a son of a carpenter and of Mary, and now he comes up out of the water of a new baptism. He comes out. Now the Holy Spirit brings about the fresh oil. Now the fresh oil now is sitting upon him now as that of a dove. Then what happens right after that? I didn't.
Goes into the wilderness. Goes to the wilderness.
How many times have you gotten some revelation from God and all of a sudden you wind up in a wilderness experience? How many times have you gotten a great prophetic word? Evangelist over here sitting down. I know this is your second time here at the House of Manna, but man, I'm going to tell you right now, if God reveals something to you, you're about to go through some stuff. Like, I ain't going back to that church no more. That's crazy. But here's the thing. Every time you come in contact with the word of God, the oil of God, the temptation, the pressure comes to you to test the very thing that came to you. The Bible says that he was driven by the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit? The anointing? The anointing, hear this, drove you to be tempted. Maybe somebody missed. Maybe we need to get on the guitar early. Have you been anointed and received something from God where your anointing causes you to go through some stuff? How many of you have been meandering through a wilderness experience? How many of you have been going through the testing? How many of you have been going through the press? How many have been going through something that is so hard you can't even put your mind to understand? Why has this thing been so hard to get over? Why is this thing that I am facing so hard for me to overcome? If we can't overcome this thing, am I really anointed with this oil to really overcome? Or is it that God is saying it is the oil that's in your life that is causing you to be driven in that direction? Are you being driven because of your anointing and your call to go through some stuff? See, Jesus already knew that it was his time, his season, where his timing here on earth, the chronos, met up with God's kairos in the atmosphere and said, now it is your time. What happened when things come together with God in our timing? The heavens open up and the word of God is declared and there is a release of the oil for people to see. Ooh. You want some things to change in your life? We've got to transition to where God wants us to be. We've got to transition. How do we transition to get new oil? By being driven through the wilderness experience. We there? Are we thinking about how much longer we got to be in this thing? Lord, Lord, every day that ends in Y. You got it? Every day that ends in Y. That's every day, 365. Every day we got to go through something because it's the oil that's inside of us that must be pressed. But the seed that's inside of you will not be crushed. Because anytime the seed that's inside of you is crushed, it becomes bitter. And I hear by the very Spirit of the living God that we are about to experience now of the fresh flow of His oil that has been untouched by man. It's been unmanipulated by yourself. It has been poured out by His presence and by His plan. We're going to experience it. Why? Because we stepped into a place of transition. We transitioned out of last year in the Hebrew calendar. We are now standing right now in the year 5777. But last year was the year 5776. So that meant that in the testing process, man was going through a process. But now we've come up out of so that we can enter into completion. Completion. Now, here's the interesting thing about oil. It was used as a commodity. The more olive trees you had, you were set up to become wealthy. And if the olive trees produced enough olives, you had enough oil, which established you to be prosperous. And then they would say that God has blessed you. But if your trees didn't produce, then they would say that you're under a curse. What about you? But I don't want to be under no curse. I don't want to have the form of looking good, but not produce the fruit. I don't want to look like I've been planted by the river of living waters, but not produce fruit. I want my fruit to show how blessed I really am. You're missing this. You're missing this. Your labor and the intensity of your trial and your wilderness experience because of the oil that's inside of you is about to produce your fruit in others. Jesus didn't come just so that he could heal everybody. He came so that he could raise two up. Let me just show you in scripture. Let me show you in scripture because some of y'all are looking at me like, no, pastor, no, he wants all of us to do it. All of us, we anointed for it, pastor. You're a little off right now. Watch this, watch this. I take notes. You know, just, when he allows me to read them, I read them. Okay, it is found in Zechariah 4:14. Watch this. The first fruits or tithe of fresh oil went to the priests and Levites. In Zechariah 4:14, it uses the word to refer to Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the governor, as the two who are anointed. Literally, they were called the sons of oil. The sons of oil. The sons of anointing. Who was coming back as witnesses? How many? Two what? Two witnesses that come from the presence of the Holy One. The one on the left and the one on the right of the candlesticks. It is the oil that is being released that will bring the coming of the Lord. We have to be in position. He came so that he can anoint others. Then what did Jesus do? He didn't even take him through seminary class. He didn't take him to go through all the discipleship training. He said, okay, now that you've seen what I do, two of you, go over here, go over there, and go do this. Take nothing with you. Go. Nowadays, we try to do that in church. Lord. You know what people say nowadays, and they use the Christian jargon? Oh, no, those who you labor with, they got to at least do the, that they got to be in the first ministry that is the most important ministry of all. They got to clean toilets. How many of you have been through that process? Yeah, they make you, you got clean toilets. Okay, I have no problem. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do it. But there comes a point where you've got to see beyond what you were told and taught before and change that oil to the oil that God is saying, and that you can see through what my anointing is, see what God is calling me to do, so that you can help me work my issues, work the things that God has told me to do, and see in me the gift that God has given me. I'm not doing it to be presumptuous that I need to do it. I'm coming here to surrender to what God's will is, but don't keep me in this place because you are jealous of the oil on my life. Oh, Lord, did I stepped on, I done stepped on some toes. How much longer are you going to keep people that have gone through the process long enough, but you don't want to let go? That is manipulation and control, and that is nothing of the things of God, because when you do things right for God, you do it unto God, not unto man. Then God will promote you. And if they don't see what God has put inside of you, God will remove you. Oh, Lord. He will remove you and put you to a place that will see the call, see the oil, and begin to make change and transformation. You may go through the wilderness. You may go through the water, but God will bring you up on the other side. Then the oil will be changed. Oh, hear me. Well, we're going through some stuff. But if I go through this kind of wilderness like this, I don't. Well, I want to come out on the other side with his presence. His presence. Nothing else but him. You say, well, we can get past all this. Just using an example. I know, man, you're probably like, God, this man always picking on me, always picking on me. Why are you always picking on me? I said, we need to get past the point where we're, great job. Oh, great job. Oh, great job. You're doing a real good job. Great job. If you need someone to pat you on the back all the time, then you are not solidified in who you are. You don't need someone to tell you you're doing a good job. You should already know that everything I do, I'm going to do the best of my ability. And if I'm not doing the best of my ability, correct me. We can't even be corrected no more. Oh, what you mean? You better watch it now, Pastor. You're offending me now. You know I'm one of your largest tithers in your church. You don't even know who my tithers are, so just hold your peace. Because if you go and address anybody with truth, it's on now. Earrings start to come off. Weaves come off. They're about ready to start to throw down. And forbid, if you see people walking in the church, say, we need to talk, Pastor, and they start taking off their heels, start taking off their wigs. It ain't no talking. That ain't no talking. You still need to get saved. I'll lay hands on you real quick. The Bible says lay hands on them with, just saying. We don't like truth anymore. And when we tell someone the truth, guess what happens? They get mad. They get offended. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave because you offended me. I offended you with truth, then the word of God should offend you. Because truth will point out every area in your life that needs to be changed. Amen? If it doesn't challenge you and doesn't convict you, here's the real question. Do you have oil? Do you have oil? Or are you running empty? Are you running empty? Because you're about ready to burn out. Or you can't move anymore. You'll get locked up. You never want to be in a place where conviction is no longer a part of your life. Conviction must be, and foremost, the thing that changes the way you act. Or that changes the way you react. For most Christians today, we're going through that challenging process of, I'm not going to be reactionary. I'm going to be actionary. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to make change before it gets to that point. You understand? It's time for us to make the oil fresh in you. How do we do that? By surrendering to Him so that He can use us. Do you want to be used of God? This is what Jesus said when He walked into the temple. In other words, He asked the attendant, give me that scroll. Give me that scroll. It's like someone coming into the church right now and say, Pastor, give me that mic. You can't, right? You can't get people to give up their mic so easy. Well, hold on now. I'm not doing my notes. I don't even know you. But something must have been anointed in that atmosphere for that attendant to hand him the scroll. Don't miss this, please. He says that he stood up and he took the scroll of Isaiah and he looked where it said in the scroll. I've come to share this with you. He did the benediction. Welcome, beloved. He greeted everybody. You know how he has to do. I want to give honor to Apostle Smith over there, and I want to give honor to Prophet so-and-so that's over there, and Sister Prophetess, Apostolist, and Lord, let me stop. I'm getting out of hand. Lord, why is it? Jesus didn't, he just said, give me that scroll. I think Jesus came from the streets. Jesus. I think he went, try me alone. Bring it to me. Not even por favor, just porfa. Then he gets the scroll. He looks for it. Oh, I know where I'm going. Hold on. No, sister, I don't need your help. Thank you. Elder, sit down over there. No. Mira, look. Put it up on the screen. Today, this scripture will be fulfilled in your ears. What scripture? What I just showed you, that I've been anointed to set the captives free. Open blind eyes. To reach those that nobody wants to reach. Basically, what he was doing to them is telling them, you know about the prophets of old, but the one that the prophet was talking about is standing right before you, and you still don't even know. How much more? He said, oh, because you know what? You want to be like the tree that's not producing fruit. I will be the tree that will release fruit. Are you hearing this? You know how hard it is to get a pastor to release people to go do ministry? Oh, but I can't let older so-and-so go. He's associate pastor here. They take care of the youth. They take care of the children. I don't want to let them go. I need them. And they don't want to let them go. Heaven forbid if they're really anointed. They don't want to let them go. But what is it if you release what is in your hands? It becomes seed. And to what account does it go to? To the account of the one that released the seed. Oh, Lord. So I don't understand why church for so long would hold people that are anointed and called by the Spirit of God to do ministry and hold them for years. When clearly God's still going to work in them with those issues regardless. And you think until you give them the green light, they can't do anything. been under ministries like that, and I felt like my neck was about to snap because they were holding on so tight. You ain't going to do that. No, you ain't going to do that. No, too many people follow you. No, you ain't going to do that. No, when you prophesy different. No, you ain't. Nope, get over here. Nope, nope, get over here. I've been under that. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that God changed my oil, that I would never do that. You know how many different people from our church I have take the mic and speak? You saw it a couple weeks ago when Colleen came up. Sylvia's come up. Katrina's come up. Sharia's come up. We raise people up so that what? So I can release them to go and do what God has called them to do. Jesus did it. How come we can't do it? That's what we've got to do. We've got to allow the oil that's inside of us to be changed so that he can do what he wants to do in us and quit trying to carry the old from the past, bring it into the new, mix it together, and say that it's new. It's not new. It's mixed. You know what they call that? Synthetic. Man-made. Manufactured. Now, synthetic oil in a car will last you a little bit longer. You know why? Because it has the detergents in it. It's thinner. It'll last you longer. But the real oil that is put in there must be changed every 30,000 miles. Right? Or 3,000? That's what I said. Pay attention. That's what I said. 30, because, you know, Jesus, that 30 changes, right? 3,000. Look at Sylvia. 3,000. I'm at 45, and I still haven't changed my. But listen. We have to allow the oil in our life to be changed. How do we do that? By releasing and emptying of ourselves to others. Once we're empty, he fills. And once he fills you with something fresh and new. How many of us want that? You really want that? We know the word. I've been around ministers. I've been around pastors. And I tell my wife this all the time. Man, they know the word. And I get real like, oh, Lord, don't ask me to quote scripture because I'll mess it all up. It's in the book of Marty. Oh, look, it's in the Bible. It says something like this, and I have people look at me like, ooh, you don't know your word. No, I live word. I don't recite word. That's why I don't remember. I've tried. When I first got saved, I was quoting scriptures left and right to my wife and my mother-in-law. My mom, he was back this in Jeremiah, this and that. And then over here in Luke, it was said this. And then all of a sudden, it went out of my mind. I couldn't retain it for anything. And you know, you try that whole thing of word association. Okay, Luke, and then number 6, and then this. Okay, Luke. I had a dog named Luke. Luke, dog. Okay, what was I trying to remember? I just couldn't do it. And the Lord said, I don't want you to memorize so that you can quote like the Pharisees and Sadducees. I want you to be like Peter, the Apostle Peter. He thought he knew it all, but he would mess up a lot. But then what he did, he started to live out scripture. And then it got to the point that his oil was so intense that his shadow would heal the people. Now that's oil. That's oil. Did he come under persecution? Did Peter come under persecution? Lord, if he's going to run from a girl at the temple, you know he has a tendency to be scared. I said, Lord, I can really associate with him because I'm a spooky guy. I get scared of a lot of things. I do. I've turned off these lights in this whole building, and I go upstairs to go turn the lights on. Oh. You know how we do. You're ready in your stance. And you're getting ready to turn that light on. And then your hair starts to just rise up on all over. You're like, oh, something's here. Something's here. And you turn up and you run out. And I think it's my angel that's with me all the time. And he's just laughing at me. Hey, Marty. Oh, my God. It's me. And then it's dark. And then your mind goes crazy. The Sasquatch is behind me. Because you just start thinking all this stuff, right? And then the Lord just said, why are you so scared? That's just how I am. You made me. And I think Jesus is just looking at him. There he goes again. Watch this. There he goes again. He's just laughing at me. Jeremiah, remember when we went in to go turn the lights off in the gym? Look, I'm already getting scared. Just saying. And then it gets dark. I mean, real dark. So I reach for my phone. Like, you know, we all have a phobia. I don't have a phobia of the dark. I have a phobia of the kukui that comes. I was taught this for so long. Aye, when the lights go off, the kukuis come out. The monsters come out, right? And so I always thought that. But then the other day, it was last night after the class. I'm turning everything off where the lights was going out. And I turn the lights off upstairs. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. Oh, okay, this is the last light. It's the last switch. You're good up until the last one. Here I am. I'm getting into my stance. And I know it was my angel. I sensed the presence of an angel. I really did. I went to, and my hair started rising up. And I was like, oh. And I felt like my knees were about. And I clicked that thing off, and I ran down the stairs. I came on. Okay. Right? When the Lord was showing me, he says, you know, we have a learned behavior in our mind from growing up. And if we don't change that, it'll continually be a hindrance as you grow older. How many of you were told about the kukuis, you know, or whatever names you call them now? But, right, we all did. And the old wives tell, so many of them. You see how I got? Like, we all have these things that we grow up with, and then we keep them in our minds, and it's our mind that keeps us from getting to the next level. God said, no, I want to change some things about you, but you always revert back to your old ways. I said, but it's dark. And I can't see. He says, you're the light. I know. You know what he told me last night when I got home? Because I was thinking about it. I was really. I've had my hair stand up, but this, all my, even the thinning hair came up. I got home last night, and I'm really thinking, and my wife said, are you upset with something? No, I'm not upset. Just, I didn't want to tell her I got scared. So I get home. We eat. We had some lasagna that they brought for the class. And I'm eating. Like, so I ain't right here. Why am I still scared? I went to bed. I said, I'm going to bed. Telling the truth, right, babe? I get in bed, and I start reading the Bible. And the Lord says, you see, you don't even see yourself as the light or a threat. And here I am talking about it last night. Y'all were here? Right? I was talking about it. Oh, it's a familiar spirit. You don't get scared. I don't take on any devil. You get home. You don't even get home. You go to that staircase right up there and you got scared. And the Lord says, you see, you go back to a seed that was planted in you when you were young. And you only go back to that seed when you find yourself alone. This is going to rock you a little bit. Josh, come over here, Josh. Stand by my side, Josh. Stand by my side, Josh. I need some help, man. This is kukui. Now listen, when you're next to someone, which is what the Bible says, that alone you put 1,000, but together you put 10,000. But when we get apart and we feel like there's some things that are coming against us, or we feel there's some things from the seed that was deposited in us begins to manifest our actions on the outside and our inside together, that we begin to go back to the self that we used to be. Jesus didn't go back to the Jordan, go back to being a son of a carpenter. Jesus stayed anointed to do what God told him to do. So after 3.5 years, he completed his task and went home. He said, it is finished. He never went back. And I began to say to God last night, I don't want to go back to my old ways. I don't want to go back to the old seed that was deposited in my life and rehash some things that come up based out of my own fear. So I believe that Jesus is saying to all of us, I'm going to change the seed that has caused you to be paralyzed from receiving the new oil. How many of you want that? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stay right there. Stay right there. There's reason for that. I'm going to pray right now. I want you to close your eyes. You can lift up your hands as a sign of surrender if you want. But more importantly, what I want you to do is open your heart. Really open your heart. What I really want you to do is really tell God, this seed that came, and some of the seeds I don't even know where they came from. But if it's crippling me, paralyzing me from receiving your oil, I want it gone. I really want it gone. I really want to receive the change of this oil in my life. I really want to experience what you really have in store for me. Open that heart up for him. Let him in there. Let him in. Let him in. Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you. He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. He already committed to do the will of the Father, to set the captives free. And Father, it was in the garden of Gethsemane, the oil, the olive press, the olive groves, that the very seed that you sent here on earth was beginning to squeeze through that pressure. And in that squeeze, Jesus said, if it be your will, take this cup from me, this pressure, this very thing that I see that you're about to take me through. Take it from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. So, Father, I ask right now that you minister to their heart and to their soul right now. That they say, not my will, but your will, God. It may be hard, it may be troublesome at times, but they will say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. Your will be done. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the seed that has caused us to stumble, the seed that has caused us to be fearful, the seed that has produced sludge in our life, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to reveal right now that seed to each and every individual so that by the way of renewing their mind, changing their actions, they can create a new reaction. And Father, I thank you that in this process that you will deposit fresh oil in their life and deposit that seed of their destiny that will begin to maturate within them, that will begin to go through that process, that will drive them through the anointing that you have called upon their life, that will drive them through the test, but they will come out worthy. They will come out doing your perfect will and not the acceptable and permissible, but the true, perfect will of God. So, Father, I thank you right now for them. As you continue to guide them and lead them, I thank you for them right now. In Jesus' mighty name. If the Lord has revealed to you right now what that seed is and you want to get rid of it, come up here to the altar right now so I can pray with you. Hallelujah. The recording, turn it off.